Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Still chirping long after the whistle. This is Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome once again to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard. Big night around the NHL last night, starring in the 1987 again game, the Detroit Red Wings and the Boston Bruins. Tough one for the Beaners to lose. We'll get on that page in a couple of moments. The Maple Leafs back at it tonight against the New York Rangers. Montreal loses a tough one, and Alex Galchenyuk could practice today, bumped down to the third line. Philippe Deneau up on the top line with Radulov and Pacioretty. More on all these stories in a couple of moments. In the meantime, John Shannon and Doug McLean joining us this afternoon. And we'll begin on the Leaf page, or should we begin on the Rangers page? And by Rangers, we should probably talk about Henrik Lundqvist. And the big question mark around the goaltender is, quite simply, what's wrong? This has not been the same Henrik Lundqvist that we're used to. He'll be in net tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs for the second time in a week. These two teams will face off against each other. John, our goaltending expert, what is happening with the goaler in New York?
No, if you say
he's not square to the puck, I may snap.
Waiting for it.
You know what? I just think that a lot of this goes back to the same refrain we've made for the last month, and that's this darn schedule.
Everyone's exhausted. That's why we're seeing high scores.
I think that's all part. Not enough practice time. And you know what? A guy like Lundqvist, who works very closely with their goalie coach, Benoit Allaire, I think that there's something to be said that, and we've heard it about Carey Price too. He and Stefan Waite work very well together and they love their practice time. I think that's an issue, you know. And would I be, if I'm, you know, Jeff Gordon, would I be worried about Henrik Lundqvist? A little bit. I'm a little more worried too that Antti Raanta's not around to help out. But at the same time, you know, with the money he's getting paid and the length of the season, I think by the end of the regular season, Henrik Lundqvist is going to be fine.
Concern for you, Doug, Henrik Lundqvist?
You know what? I mean the price. I looked at prices numbers. From October through to yesterday, they've dropped every month. His save percentage has dropped dramatically. But you say, are you worried about two of the best goaltenders in the game? Well, you're always worried when guys go through funks. But I think these two guys, I would be pretty comfortable saying that both of them will rebound and rebound in a really positive way, well enough to win rounds for these teams in the playoffs. Now, the Metropolitan is a little tougher than winning in the Atlantic in the playoffs. Mm. But you know what? I think some guys are tired when they're struggling, and other guys, why aren't they tired? You know, the schedule is
winning
bizarre.
Does solve a lot.
Yeah. The schedule is really bizarre. Like when
we'll get to Boston.
But I'd love to talk to the league about what is going on here with teams with six games in hand. That's on Boston. Other teams. Come on. You don't see it in the NBA. You don't like. I know the five-day thing has really affected it, but come on,
the late start,
but it's bizarre, after the World Cup, Shanny. When you got how many teams with six games in hand on other teams?
But this all goes though, Doug, and you know this because you were used to do this. It all goes to the dates that you provide. You as a team provide to the league. Some teams provide them early in the year. Some teams don't want to provide dates early in the season because they know they're up against baseball and
football
and college sports. See,
here's the biggest thing, and this date thing is a bit of a fake date thing. It's something like those fake GMs, the presidents of, what are they called, hockey ops? It's a similar thing. Because you only want to play on certain nights,
right?
Yes,
you put those dates in. So it puts Steve Hetropatras in a tough, tough situation, and the league in a tough situation.
Yep.
Because if you look around the league, anybody that plays on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights mm-hmm. is getting it handed to them in the U.S. Unless you're
saying attendance-wise.
Right. Unless you're one of the top markets.
Nobody wants to play on Mondays to begin with.
Nobody wants to play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday even.
Tuesday's a heavy up day.
There was a time, and Jimmy Devolano used to say this all the time. We in Detroit can play any night.
That's right.
So Detroit always have a great schedule because they had the luxury of packed houses. I'm not sure that they're feeling the same way now. Mm-hmm. But I know Jimmy for, I mean, it had to be 20 years in a row that Jimmy and Kenny and the people that worked on the schedule there would supply, because you could play on a Monday night and you'd be sold out of the joint. But in other markets, like for us in Columbus.
You didn't want to go on a Tuesday.
No, we had to, it was a disaster. So, but still, it just throws a monkey wrench into these standings when you see six games in hand.
And the other thing that has thrown a huge wrench into the schedule for the schedule maker is the demands of national television in both countries.
Bingo. And that's Stateside Wednesdays.
Hold on. It's not just stateside. I mean, we've added another national night as well on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, when it used to be, like when Doug was a child, the national nights were Wednesday, Saturday. And then every once in a while, they'd sprinkle in a Sunday afternoon. Now, with Rogers Hometown Hockey in Canada, with the Wednesday night national packages in both countries, and then with Saturdays, all of a sudden, now all the regional stuff has to go plugged into Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Exactly.
And those become gargantuan nights for the schedule maker.
And it's okay for the Canadian teams.
You'd think
unless
so.
Unless it's look, Ottawa's got concerns.
Ottawa's got concerns.
You know, Vancouver's got concerns. Okay, Shanny, with that said.
And by the way, one more thing. One team put in of their, because you're obligated to put in 50 dates. One team actually put 10 straight days in a row.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can, get through their numbers.
That's right.
Okay. Now, so Steve Hetropetras, who, for me, when I worked with him, did an amazing job. He was conciliatory. He would do whatever he could, but he's got one of the toughest jobs, and the guy before him was a great friend of ours, Shanny.
Phil Scheuer.
Phil Scheuer. In Montreal.
Yeah.
Have you heard rumblings that there's the national night may be changed?
In the U.S.?
In Canada.
Well, I don't know how you can.
From Sunday to Monday because of the NFL Sunday.
Well, you got NFL Monday,
you got Monday
too.
Night I know, football. But
I haven't heard that.
Interesting. Somebody mentioned that to me in passing. It's like they say on PEI.
What's that, Doug?
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Passing along. Nope, I'm just the middleman.
Is that a regular thing from noon to one every, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays?
Exactly. I'm not saying it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Let's get on the Maple Leafs.
It's my mother's favorite line.
Rangers.
How is she doing, by the way?
She's doing okay.
Okay.
Good to hear. One of eight games tonight around the NHL. I guess eight games is sort of quiet for a Thursday night when you look at schedules. Normally, we're used to a dozen games or so. Frank Corrado draws back in. Morgan Rielly will not play. Corrado, we played with Carrick on the third pairing. That leaves Gardner and Zaitsev as your first, Hunwick and Pollock as your second. And you wonder if for the second time in a week and change, whether the Toronto Maple Leafs can stick it to the Rangers. Rangers coming off a tough loss against the Dallas.
Well, they 9-1-1 in their last 11. They're very good. And the other thing is with Rielly going down the other night, in the end, Jake Gardner played almost 30 minutes. You have to wonder, and if Babcock, we know he doesn't like Frankie Corrado. We know he doesn't like him. So will he pull minutes away from Corrado and Carrick and really lean on those first two pairings?
Yeah, he will probably. The thing with a guy like Gardner, like him or not, and Babcock seems to like him.
Yeah.
And it's been a really coming out for Gardner after what he, I had major questions whether this guy was going to be a real defenseman in the NHL. And when I see him, I mean, Mike Babcock's done a heck of a job with this guy. And the coaching staff, whether it's DJ Smith or whoever.
Or Jimmy.
Jimmy Hiller. The question is, and a guy like Gardner, because he's such a skater, can log a ton of minutes. So it'll be fun to watch how it affects his time. Now, I remember Ken Hitchcock saying this to me about Daryl Sador. Daryl Sador, we signed him in Columbus, traded for him in Columbus, and he came in and Daryl was a really good player and played really well for us. 22, 23 minutes a game.
Yep.
A totally different player than he was at 18 minutes a game.
Better or worse?
better at 18. And I,
well, you know who was like
and
that
Hitchcock
here?
Said it to me umpteen times. Daryl Sador is a really good defenseman at 18 to 18:30. Mm-hmm. At 22 plus, not the same player.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well,
and you know that's what time on ice does and how it affects different players.
Well, we said that for years, and everybody noticed that. That's exactly what happened with Dion Phaneuf here too. Dion Phaneuf was great at 18 and 19 minutes, but when, you know, Ron Wilson or whoever was coaching the team put him on, he played 24. He was
and that, but the thing is that
made a huge difference to him.
That's 24 minutes against top competition
every night.
The great thing that this regime did with Dion Phaneuf to help move along a trade, bumped down the minutes, and he wasn't playing against
those
lines.
That's right.
What they did was masterful with Dion Phaneuf, and all of a sudden,
let's not get carried away with masterful. Let's say it was a decent move.
Hey, you unload that contract. You don't think that was a master class?
Well, actually, Dion's played pretty well in Ottawa. Dion's played well in Ottawa,
and he's in that role.
But that's
second
it. He's not in the Carlson role.
Yeah.
He's in that second pair,
which is good for him and good for the Sens.
Oof. Well, yeah, but if you look at the Maple Leaf Ranger game, I mean, this Ranger team. Again, I mean, what's Ryan McDonough's status? I mean, after the toe pick into the boards the other night, I mean, this guy has no luck going right now.
He has a very poor feel for where the boards are.
A couple of times.
It's not just
when he was going to the bench for the change with his
head down.
But it's other players. I can't think of a more elite-level defenseman who gets injured as much as Ryan McDonough. In situations like you're mentioning, Doug, like you're mentioning John as well, where you look at it and you say, how did that just happen to him?
And plays hard and is a valuable guy and a leader. But that blue line of the big three of Staal, Girardi, McDonough.
Well, big two.
Yeah. it's got, but that was the big three.
Sure it was.
You know, and now it's fun to watch that Ranger blue line play against a fast, skilled Toronto forward
and
group.
It's also a Toronto Maple Leaf crew that smells some blood in the water. Last night, you look at the Boston Bruins squandering 2-3 goal leads against the Detroit Red Wings. The Boston Bruins do claim a point, but to your point about the schedule, the Maple Leafs trail the Boston Bruins for second in the Atlantic by 2 points, and this gets Doug's blood boiling. Six games in hand.
Halfway through the season.
Game 45.
So if Toronto go 500 in those games.
Boston's just going to run out of games.
So if they
get to March, they're going to run out of games.
So if Toronto go 500, 3 out of 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
They're up by 4.
And by the way, guys, we are a national show here. There's another team with the exact same amount of points, exact same amount of games played, 2 points behind the Bruins. And that's the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, so
and
it's
how many
not
games
just,
in hand do they have?
They're the same.
Same.
They got six.
And they're in the second wild card spot right now.
Like, seriously.
50 points, 42 games.
So, you can feel the...
Where's Florida and Tampa? They're up in games.
Florida's 47.
49 points. They lost to Edmonton last night. Tampa, game three of a six-game road trip. They'll take on San Jose tonight. They're 47 points
but
in
games
position.
In hand, I mean.
No.
Oh, games in hand?
Boston only has one on Florida, two on Tampa.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, but it
didn't watch as Carolina, but that's okay.
Okay, all right. Get the pom-poms out. And I like Carolina. I think they are good. But
I'd love Carolina if I could find it downtown there when I'm looking for a restaurant.
Now.
They're not easy to find. They got some good young players.
Yes, they do.
Interesting. Somebody mentioned to me the other day, guys signing new contracts in Carolina. Ronnie Francis has signed. A couple of guys have signed. Not sure how many, but not a whole lot in that organization have re-signed new contracts. So what would jump out at you as something that, is there anything going on here?
Are you talking about players or are you talking about
management?
You're
talking about moving.
Oh,
that's what you're getting at.
But contracts are movable, too.
Except for one thing. If you're buying the team, you have a different perspective on that, especially if you have people in mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a big issue.
You want to throw a log on that fire?
I'm just throwing it out.
What was it that your mother used to say?
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just telling you what I heard. But listen, Carolina, and I know Peter Kermanis wants to stay in Carolina. Yep. I get that, and I really like the way what the job Ronnie Francis has done, and it looks like they're really got a really nice nucleus built. Peters, who signed an extension,
fantastic job,
indicated to me. How long can you play in front of 7,000 to 9,000, 10,000 people?
Well,
like, I mean, I'm watching their games, and there's not many people there. I mean, everybody wants to criticize the Panthers for their red zone and some empty seats, but Carolina has got to be right there or worse. Mm-hmm. But I know Peter's been adamant.
Those whispers have been out there for a couple of years.
At least
now
2 years.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
It's a rink that houses the Quebec Ramparts in QC right now. The prospects game is going to take place next week.
Seattle
has been out there for a while.
Like, Seattle is going to happen. I keep hearing people are talking about jobs in Seattle to go there, to be their president of whatever. Have you heard any rumblings about hockey people maybe going to work in Seattle?
Well, no, they haven't found an owner there yet. I mean, that's the one issue with Seattle. What we do know about Seattle is now the city is finally getting serious about a major renovation to the old arena in Seattle, and the renovation would be for about $350 million, and they've put out a request for proposals.
So there's no Leiwicki tied to Seattle?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
But Leiwicki's group, and which is Jim Dolan from the Rangers, is involved in that as well. And then AEG, they're going to put in bids for the ability to renovate Key Arena in downtown Seattle.
And why would they do that? That group.
Because what's happened with Leiwicki and Dolan, and
this is Tim and Todd.
No, not
just
Todd.
Just Tim.
Todd's at the NFL. This is a new thing that has happened. This group bought and own the old Great Western Forum in Inglewood. They've made it one of the number one concert halls in North America. They're building an 18,000 seat concert hall in Las Vegas, not far from T-Mobile Arena. They have created a real business plan, not based on sports, but based on concerts.
So that's
why Tim and Jim Dolan are.
So that sets that up, and potentially it could be.
Well, I mean, there's no question that in the proposal you're supposed to, you know, make sure that the renovation qualifies for both NBA prerequisites and NHL prerequisites.
So it's interesting. I mean,
there was always the talk that, you know, when the proposals, or when the NHL solicited for offers for expansion, there was more than a couple of long faces when no one from Seattle submitted.
I think the longest faces were the moment that the NBA did not move back to Seattle. And that was about 3.5 years ago when the whole Sacramento Kings NBA issue came up. The real hope was that the NHL would be on the NBA's coattails. Now I think whoever, you know, with this arena being redesigned, I think that it's a no-brainer that both pro sports leagues will go back.
It's fun to see the dynamic of how, you know, rumblings of NFL moving into Vegas. Bill Daly has been adamant that it doesn't affect the market.
Let me ask you this.
Good.
So you when you were in Columbus, there's a good pro football team there too.
Called the Buckeyes.
Called the Ohio State Buckeyes. But did it affect you guys? Marketing-wise, attendance-wise, did it affect you? Because they played almost the same amount of games.
It affected the dates you requested games.
It affected us dramatically. Dramatically.
Yeah.
Corporately, in every which way you could imagine. And it's not only that, it's if they're playing on the road, if they're playing at home, it's such an attraction. Now, the Buckeyes are unique. Let's not kid ourselves. That's as big as it gets. But it affects your mood or your fan base, too, if they happen to lose. If the Buckeyes lost, it would affect your whole fan base, you know, because they're such passionate fans. Mm. So. And, you know, corporately, there's no doubt it affects you. There's no doubt it affects you. But, you know, and I get where Bill's coming from. It helps to be more of a maybe sometimes it's a positive that you're perceived as a big market.
Yeah. Let's get back on the ice. Mentioned the Boston Bruins a couple of moments ago.
Yeah, it's okay. Business talk is okay.
Business of hockey sports.
People are just cringing listening to us right now.
So why don't we talk
about... Some of our good friends are cringing listening to us talk.
They're
Because they're saying they don't have a clue what they're talking about.
They're cringing at you. So.
It's okay.
Let's talk about the Boston Bruins.
Cringers. Yes.
Let's get on the Bruins page. They go up 3-0 early yesterday at the Joe Louis Arena. Everything good. They're tucked away. The Boston Bruins are going to win this one. Not so fast. It is a shootout victory, 6-5 overtime style for the Detroit Red Wings. The Bruins do pick up a point. Won't belabor the games in hand issue, 6. But genuine concern about the Boston Bruins and, rightly or wrongly, once again, because he's been fired about 25 times, whispers about the coach. Legit or not?
Well, I happen to be a really, really big fan of Claude Julien. I think he's one of the most solid guys in the game, okay? I don't know him really well. I know him well enough to have a chat with him, mm-hmm. which I did in Buffalo at the rookie camp, and I really enjoy talking to him. He's a hockey guy. He's had a great track record from the junior in Hull all the way through his whole career. If the Boston Bruins are going to go by Claude Julien, they better have a hell of a plan in place for who's taking his place. Mm-hmm. Because they're not a bad team. They're not a bad team. They've got some really, really great parts to that team. Mm-hmm. To me, they've overachieved. Now, Don Sweeney wouldn't agree with me. He and John Ferguson would not agree with me. I'm saying they've overachieved, and I think they better have a heck of a plan in place if they go by him. And I guarantee you that if they go by him, he will not be very long without being in a job.
See, John? Tuukka Rask was not very good last night. His 10th loss. But Rask has been a gem for them all season long,
totally.
In my mind.
That's the conversation.
And so is Chara.
Well,
so is Chara.
No, but my point is that what Don Sweeney has not done a good job of is finding a quality backup goaltender. I mean, their backup goaltenders have, out of a potential 22 points, they have 4. Mm-hmm. So even if they were at 500, that's a remarkable difference in the standings. And because you can't expect Rask to play every game, but he's going to probably end up playing 65 games. So if they could have gotten 17 points out of their backup goalies, and the Rask continues to play the way he was, this team is easily in the playoffs. The Leafs and the Senators aren't breathing down their necks. Life is good in Boston. To me, it goes back to they've spent money unwisely in certain parts, and then have not done enough quality investigation to find a good backup goaltender. Mm-hmm. Chad Johnson, I think Chad Johnson was there for a cup of coffee. I mean, you have to go find somebody to back up Rask, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
But isn't the bigger story goal scoring?
Yeah, but
notwithstanding the five, they can't score goals.
Yeah, but let's think back here a little bit. Every team in the NHL, a priority for them in the offseason was what?
Backup goaltenders.
Because of what went on last year.
That's right.
Injuries and back-to-backs and analytics.
Sure.
It became a real priority for teams to fix that position. And they thought they were okay with Hudobin.
Yep.
They've got McIntyre, you know, the kid that's there now. But I can't disagree with Shanny, and scoring goals. I watched them. Some nights they have no trouble scoring goals, and other nights they're challenged. Hey, Brad, like every team in the league.
Brad Marchand scores goals. David Pasternak scores goals. I mean,
he's in the last 10 years.
But after that, it dries up. And well, Patrice Bergeron has started the season not playing. You wonder about the lingering effects of, you know, what happened after the Wheeler fight with Patrice Bergeron. Is he still that same player? Yeah. Where's David? Part of this, I wonder if this is now the season where, because it doesn't, the effects don't happen right away. Is this where something like the Tyler Seguin deal catches up to the Boston Bruins? Because those trades, you don't see the results right away. Is this now the result, partially, of the Seguin deal catching up to the Boston Bruins?
I don't know. I think that might be too far back. What I'm more concerned about from the Bruins' perspective, if you're talking about young players, is that draft that we were all at, where Sweeney went and traded and got drafts 12, 13, 14, I believe it was, or 13, 14, 15.
Yeah. Zboril, the three, Sinishin, and DeBrus.
Yes. Yeah. And all, you know, players that you... Now, where are... I mean... None of them are playing for this team yet.
But I've watched Providence a fair amount, and
how's DeBrusque look?
DeBrusque is going to be a good player. Yeah. He's going to be a good solid NHL player. The kid in Sault Ste. Marie is
Zach Sinishin.
He's going to be a pretty good player. And Zaboral had an off year last year, but has rebounded in St. John, and is going to be a good. So you know, those three picks may very well turn out to be three NHL players.
But wasn't the strategy of those three picks to parlay that into a big defenseman a la Noah Hanifin?
Yeah, well, that's what we
wasn't
all thought.
Wasn't that the plan at that draft?
That's what we all thought.
I don't know if it was.
Yeah, no, that's what we all thought, was he was going to try to do something and get Don Maloney to get be able to go into that Arizona spot.
And it may be lucky that he didn't do that.
Oh, Hanifin's a pretty good player.
Yeah, he is.
He's a nice player.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
The problem was is that Arizona didn't take Hanifin.
Yeah. But if those three play in the NHL,
yes, no, you're right. I'm not deflecting away from the Sagan argument. I just think that in many ways, it's kind of ancient history now. It's hard.
You let go of a young right hand shot center like that.
Comes back to bite you.
There's nothing that Sweeney. I mean, that was Peter.
Right. Yeah.
Peter.
But that's
what
I'm saying.
Like, what's left in that? What's left of that deal?
Oh, well, that Bruins. Was Erickson. That was Riley in that deal. There was a Joe Morrow in
so
that
Jimmy
deal.
Jimmy Hayes is left, and Morrow. What? Anyway,
Jimmy Hayes.
You know what? It's awful easy, I've been in the chair.
Sure,
it's awful easy. 5 years after to analyze lots of trades.
But at the time, we saw in that Bruins.
All I know is it worked out. I know is it worked out really well for Peter Chiarelli. I know that.
Maybe
not so well for the Bruins, but it's worked out really well for Peter because he's in Edmonton.
You look at a couple of the free, you know, they went out and signed some free agents over the last couple of years.
David Backes,
Matt Bolesky, you know, how have they contributed? Have they contributed enough for the amount of money they're paying them? Those are questions I think that need to be asked as well. And this all goes to me about the relationship between Sweeney and Neely and Julian and young Jacobs, Charlie Jacobs, who's certainly active.
Who's old now?
Well, he's 40-ish.
Yeah, so he's getting up there.
Well, he's younger than you and me, so he's young Charlie. How patient they want to be with Claude.
And you know what? Claude's had a 10-year run there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Claude. Hey, if something happens, Claude's fine. He's fine. You know, then all of a sudden you got Gerard Gallant on the marketplace. You got Claude Julien on the marketplace. You got some good coaches that are.
I tell you what, if I was George McPhee, I know who I'd be calling right away.
Be unemployed for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
About the first phone call. We have to
take a break. Given George lots of tips. I mean, he listens in every day and jots them down.
So you're sending an invoice, are you?
We're trying to help the league a little bit today. We've been given lots of advice today.
And gave Steve Hetsipetros a lot of love.
Have you had any calls yet, Manny, from people, irate people?
By the way, the comment.
Manny turns his phone off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I know. the comment about Steve Hetsipetros, just as a reminder, next Wednesday on sportsnet.ca is the unveiling of the Power 25.
And is that a sneak peek that he may be on that list?
I didn't say that. I said you're going to have to check. But it tweaked me.
John, are you doing that?
I did the Power 25.
Every year.
Every year. You're not on it, Doug.
You do it because just with the hope, because you're in the Hall of Fame, Hockey Hall of Fame in BC, you may get
right.
on it. You should be like, who used to do it and put his name on there all the time? Who used to do it?
What, Gilstein?
Yeah. Get himself in the hall.
No, yeah, right.
We had a break. Jacob Slavin of the Carolina Hurricanes Blue Line will join us here in a couple of moments. Hockey Central at noon continues. Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on the NHL Network stateside.
A podcast that punches through till you're picking up teeth. The Andrew Walker Show. Subscribe in iTunes or with whatever podcatcher rattles your cage. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard alongside John Shannon and Doug McLean. Jacob Slavin of the Carolina Hurricanes, one of the NHL's best-kept secrets.
Not anymore. You're ruining it for them.
Boom, boom. Last year, who was it, John, on the blue line?
Jared Spurgeon.
And now this year, Jacob Slavin.
Jacob Slavin.
All about the Jacob Slavin. He'll be joining us here in a couple of months. Carolina, winners of 14 of their last 16 at home. Waiting in the weeds. They had that road trip, was six games to kick off the season. So to put them behind the eight ball to begin with. But since then, they've been slowly but surely climbing themselves up. Could have leapfrogged Philadelphia the other night, but dropped the tough one.
You are a closet Caniac, aren't you?
I love watching them.
Why?
I really do.
Is it an analytics thing?
I love
closet Caniac.
No, you know what? I like Sebastian Aho a lot. I think the Tara Vanen's a heck of a
hockey
player.
Is it an analytic thing?
Yes, because I watch for shot attempts.
I actually, yeah.
And zone entries.
I want to know. It's about him trying to prove it again, okay?
I actually really enjoyed my time in Carolina when they were in the playoffs, Stanley Cup final.
That great steakhouse downtown that we used to go to, Shanny, right down in downtown Raleigh.
It's not a Mitchell's, is it?
No.
Anyway,
no,
so,
no.
But the fans there are passionate. When that building was full, it rocks. Mm-hmm. It is a great place.
We had to watch a ball. We had a ball there at the All-Star game, and the people in the parking lot doing their
tailgating.
Oh, yeah. It was terrific. Yeah. No, they are a great. They're a passionate group of 8,000 or 9,000 of them.
When they won the Stanley Cup. Nobody. Nice.
There's more than 8,000 or 9,000 fans that are good.
Caniacs.
Caniac. Yeah. Well, they just need more Caniacs. That's
right. They need more Caniacs.
When they won you remember that game seven in 2006? Nobody sat down.
Yeah.
The entire game. Nobody sat in the rink for three full periods.
I remember it in Florida, and I remember it in a bunch of places.
Florida, they screwed up because they moved out of Miami. That's what they did.
No, that's not where they screwed up. Where they screwed up is when they moved out of Miami, they should have built it in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
That's where they screwed up.
On the other end of the interstate.
And I'm not going to argue with Wayne Huizenga because he made a smart business move.
Sure he did.
We should have Bill Torrey on sometime and talk to him about. Bill Torrey is the one guy that's been with the Panthers since day one.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, if we have Tor on,
it'd be great to have Bill Torrey on and talk because because of what he's done in the game, and you know, he's the guy that every time the Panthers get in trouble, he's the guy that they look to bail them out and help them.
Yeah, but to be honest, if we had Bill on. Jeff and I will only ask him stories about the California Seals.
I knew you were going to go there. Let's get to...
What about the Pittsburgh Penguins when he was there?
Let's get to Jacob Slavin.
That's the PR director.
Carolina Hurricanes defenseman. Jacob, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you, sir?
He was. Good. He was there with Ice Capades.
We're doing very well. Guys, Jacob Slavin's on. Carolina's outstanding defenseman.
I thought he was from Czechoslovakia or someplace.
Jacob Slavin,
he's from Denver, Colorado.
He played at Colorado College, Doug McLean, former NHL general manager.
I'm kidding.
We're just talking about the home record so far. Winners of 14 of the last 16, Jacob. How do you explain the success of the Hurricanes at home?
I think we have a really good game structure when we are at home. We do feed off the crowd a little bit, but our game structure at home is really, really solid for us to play a quick game and able to control the lines, pair ups a little bit, and that really helps us out.
Jacob, tell me your hockey history prior to Colorado.
Played like minors or whatever, or youth hockey growing up in Colorado, and then 2 years at the Chicago Steel before Colorado College.
So you're a USHL product. You come into this lineup, and all of a sudden, I look at a young defenseman in the league playing over 23 minutes a game. How has that happened so quick for you?
Just being in the right place at the right time, I guess, and given the opportunity and just trying to make the most of it. I love it being here in Carolina. It's been a blessing for sure, and like I said, just trying to make the most of it.
What and how has Bill Peters made your game different?
He's made it really simple, actually, just the transition into professional hockey from college. We play a very structured game, and just knowing the roles I have when I'm out on the ice in all three zones makes it really easy to play out there, and knowing that everybody else is doing their role gives me confidence to just focus on my game.
Do you shake your head when you say, I'm a young NHL defenseman, and I'm the number one guy in ice time on the team, and my plus-minus is one of the best, if not the best, on the team? I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment for a young defenseman.
The secret's getting out about you, Jacob.
Thank you. I guess I just shake my head a little bit on that one.
So the other thing is that your group of guys, at a certain point last year, I don't think it's true this year, at a certain point last year, all American-born players on the blue line. Justin Falk has blossomed into one of the great ones. And then there's Noah Hanifin, who was supposed to get all the hype coming as a high draft pick, and then you guys just kind of snuck in there.
Brett Pesce, throw him in as well.
Oh, Brett Pesce as well, yeah. So it looks like it's a strong but fun group of guys to be around. How much fun do you have?
Oh, we have a blast, obviously. I think right now, actually, we have been All-American and All-College guys with Tennyson and Hainsey out there, too. And so it's been a blast. We're a pretty young D-Corps. And Ron's kind of the old guy out there with us, but no, his leadership's awesome, and we have, like I said, we have a lot of fun together out there, and it's even off the ice, we all get along really well. So it's been a blast this year.
How much pressure amongst the group to make the playoffs? I mean, I know, you know, in Carolina, it's not unlike most U.S. markets. It's so important for the franchise. Is that the talk in the room, or is it just going about the business at hand?
I mean, it's definitely there. Like, we're all really excited, and where we're at right now, I think we're in a great spot. Obviously, we're on the outside looking in still, so we have a lot of work to do. But we're super positive in the room, and that's definitely our goal this year, is get in the playoffs and turn some heads while doing it.
Jacob Slavin joins us of the Carolina Hurricanes. We talked earlier about schedules, and your schedule to kick off the season wasn't kind. It was an extended road trip. What was the vibe of the team going through those first six or so games being away from the home rink?
I mean, it wasn't too bad for us, actually. All the guys got to know each other. We had a lot of new faces throughout the room, so it was good to get to know all the guys. And obviously, it didn't go well the way we wanted it to. We had a couple games there that we should have won. But it was a good road trip for us to start the year, for sure.
In Carolina for a long period of time is Cam Ward, and Cam's had a pretty good year as well. How much confidence does that give this team when Cam's playing as well as he has?
Oh, it's been unbelievable for us, especially as a defenseman. I can speak volume to that. But no, he's been playing unbelievable for us. Obviously, he's been playing a lot here, and I think he loves it though. He's in his routine, and all I hear is it looks like the Cam from 06, so I know that's a good thing.
Tell us a little bit, like, you know, a lot of fans don't get to see Carolina as much as we'd like to, other than our host, Jeff
Hello.
Merrick. Tell us about Sebastian Aho and what he has a chance to become, just in your eyes, as a teammate and a defenseman versus a forward.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Obviously, he's a smaller guy, but he has a lot of hidden strength to him in his game. He's quick. He's smart with the puck, and there's some of his speed. It's unbelievable when he gets going. I remember a game in Buffalo where he just kind of took off at the end of the game, and we're all giving him a hard time because he never knew he was so fast. But he has all the potential in the world, and he has a good head on his shoulders to do it.
He's got like that Sammy Kapanen burst of speed when he gets his feet going. A couple.
Why
more...
wouldn't you say a Bure burst of speed
because
versus Sammy Kapanen?
Because I wanted to focus on a former Hurricane. That's why.
That's a good point.
And a Finn.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's a really, really good point by you, and I should compliment you on
thank
that.
Thank you. So many layers to my questions.
Yes, Doug. There is.
You know, a couple of veteran players on that blue line. We think of Hainsey. We certainly think of Falk as well. Who do you lean on as a young hockey player on that back end?
Well, there's a couple of young guys with me, and like you guys have said, Brett Pesce, you know, Hanifin, and even though Falker's only 24, he's obviously way beyond his years and the way he plays the game and everything, so we can always go to Falker, and Ron as well. He's always talking out there, whether it's on the ice or on the bench in the locker room. He's always giving his 2 cents and giving us advice on where we should go with the puck, or if there was a mistake, what he thought about it, or anything like that. So we can always go to Ron and Falker, and then obviously we have Steve Smith up there behind us on the D end, and he has a lot of knowledge in the game, so we can always lean on him too.
Are you one of those guys that watches the standings every day?
A little, I mean, not too much. Obviously, we know where we're at, and we have a lot of work to do still, especially at these next four games before All-Star break, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Washington, and then L.A. So we got our work cut out for us, but we're all excited.
Could be some good things on the horizon for you. Jacob, listen, thanks so much for stopping by. Continued success both individually and with the squad as well.
Great job, Jacob. Yeah, keep it going, man.
Thank you very much.
Jacob Slavin. I'd love to see them make it. You know a guy that I just want to shout out to that's done an amazing job despite challenges, and that's Tony McDonald, the chief scout of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Hmm.
This is a guy that's a hockey lifer. He started with Jimmy Rutherford with the Windsor Spitfires and the old Detroit CompuWare.
Sure.
And Tony, I've known Tony my whole life. This is a guy that grinds. And you look at all these guys. I mean, Sheldon Ferguson was there with them for a long time. Yeah. They've had some great people that have worked unbelievably hard and have... And they've got some great, as you know, you talk about it, they've got some great young players. And Tony McDonald, you never hear these guys getting much credit, but there's a guy that's done a heck of a job.
And I do think you have to give a shout out to what Ronnie's done there. I think Ronnie Francis is, you know, Francis is one of those quiet leaders, was as a player, and has maintained that. He's a pretty cerebral guy, and he still loves to go scout. He doesn't play the suit too often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and we've talked about it, with their hands tied financially for a great deal of the time, I think, and with a lot of contracts when he started, that his hands were tied.
Which is why you have to find value, and which is why you...
I just think he's done a great job. So.
I think so too, and that's why...
Yeah, Ron's good. He's the same as a GM as he was as a player.
Yeah.
He just goes about his business in a really professional, you know, thorough, thoughtful way.
Jeff Skinner's having a nice year, too.
Yeah, that's good to see him.
Good bounce back.
Right? And we all know about, you know, the concussion issues in the past.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worn him down. He's been outstanding for them. Jordan Staal's having a nice season as well.
You know this team inside out.
You want me to talk about Lee Stempniak next? There's another great find for them.
That is one of the most unbelievable stories, not just of the Hurricanes.
Right.
This is a career that I think everybody's tried to, you know, end six times, and every time
he just won't go away.
And all he does is every time, whether it's in New Jersey, we acquired Lee Stempniak, he goes on a goal scoring string. He did it in Toronto for a while. He did it in Calgary. He did it in St. Louis for a while. I mean, he just never goes away.
And you know what you keep hearing about him every time? One thing unbelievably consistent: great guy.
Yeah,
a great team guy and a great guy. And you know what? Character still means a lot in this game, and he brings it.
Right hand shot gets 20 goals every year.
Yeah,
it's
great to see.
A couple of moments left here in the program. Pittsburgh
Good
Penguins.
Grief. I haven't talked about the Carolina Hurricanes this much since they're in the finals.
You want to talk about Eric Tulsky and their analytics department while we're at it, Doug?
Oh, my God.
Okay,
please.
Very good. Penguins back on track. A couple of big wins and a big one last night against the Montreal Canadiens. Where are we at with the Pittsburgh Penguins
these days?
Better last
night than the game against Washington.
That was just sloppy fun. That really was.
Have a look at their blue line they dressed last night.
I know.
And the way that team performed, and that, again, it speaks to the depth and how good the guys, you know, the regulars are. And I just, every time I think about Sid Crosby, I'll tell you what. And I know they didn't get their points last night, but man, oh, man. When you have a guy like that on your hockey team, how do you not play your tail off?
Mm-hmm.
How do you not compete every shift when you got a guy like Sid Crosby on your team? I'm telling you, he's... I mean, we all love watching McDavid. I can't wait to watch him and Austin Matthews.
Night.
But I'll tell you what, Sid goes into Montreal. He's so... And I saw the kids in that stand. I was getting chills last night. The number of kids that would have come from the Maritimes to watch that game last night see Sid.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Listen, Evgeny Malkin's had a heck of a season.
Yeah, both of them.
I mean, Malkin.
Kunitz. Big play by Kunitz last night, you know?
I mean, but Malkin is one of the, you know, he's... Very quietly, he's got a better points per game average than Ovechkin, and everybody talks about Ovechkin being one of the great players. Evgeny Malkin does not get enough credit for what he's done for the Penguins.
You know what's interesting? We talk so much about Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby, the associations there. Do we start talking about, and we saw it again last night, Leon Draisaitl being the Malkin to Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, he looks really...
Maybe.
All right, there you go. You guys like Jacob Slavin? Isn't that good?
He's my favorite new player in the NHL.
All right, very good. He's a second-year player. That's okay. That's it for us at Hockey Central Noon. Back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.